letter of John, the first letter of John, to share with you this morning. How do we know for sure that we've been saved? How do we know for sure that we have been born again? I know for sure that I've been born again. I know for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to be with the Father in heaven. Well, that's presumptuous. No, not presumptuous, that's the Bible. The Bible tells me that we can know for sure that we have been born again. Somebody said, well, you can't really know that for sure. Well, you might as well tell Bartimaeus that he can't know for sure that he's really seeing when once he was blind. He knows for sure. But he's not able to explain everything about it. He says, once I was blind, but now I can see. He doesn't know all about the optic nerve. He doesn't know all about optometry. He doesn't know all about the physics of vision, but he knows he can see. He might as well try to convince Bartimaeus that he is still blind as to tell me that I'm not born again. He might as well try to tell the woman at Sychar that she didn't meet the Lord Jesus by the well, and that it was all a figment of her imagination. No, she was absolutely convinced that she had a life-changing experience as she spoke with this man of Galilee, and he told her all things whatsoever she ever did. She had such a real experience and such a life-changing experience that she left her bucket by the well, went back into the city of Sychar, gathered up all the men of the town and said, let me tell you about a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? He might as well tell Peter that he never had an encounter with the Lord of glory. Have to tell someone that's been truly born again that he's not saved. You do not have a personal encounter with God Almighty and forget it. You don't come up and face omnipotence without knowing it. You don't have an experience with the God of heaven for what you're different for. Every single person that's been born again has a testimony of how they came to know God in a personal way. How long have you been a Christian? Well, I've been a Christian all my life. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that you've not been a Christian all your life because the person has to be born again. And so you couldn't have been a Christian all your life. That means sometime in your life you came to a face-to-face encounter with God Almighty, realized yourself to be a sinner, in need of a Savior, a place in your life where you came to know Him as that Savior, and you've been born again. The Bible says, except the man repent, he shall also likewise perish. What does that mean? That means there has to be a time in your life when you have a personal encounter with God Almighty, where He changes you and He saves you. You say, well, I don't have a testimony. Well, you don't have a testimony if you've never met God in a personal way. Now, it doesn't have to be in church service. It could be in your bedroom. It doesn't have to be sitting down. It could be standing up. It doesn't have to be in the city. It could be in the car. But if you have met God Almighty and realized that Jesus Christ is the only way to know Him, you'll never forget it. And I'd like to share with you from the first epistle to John. How do we know for sure? How do we know for sure that we've been born again? Well, there are five witnesses. There are five witnesses to the new birth found in the first epistle of John. First of all, there's the eternal witness of God's Word. Second, there's the internal witness of God's Spirit. Third, there's the fraternal witness. The fraternal witness of God's friend. Number four, there's the external witness of God's commandment. And number five, there's the internal witness of God's enemy. Let me share with you the five witnesses that we've been born again. Number one, the eternal witness of God's Word. John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Follow along your Bible, and some of you might want to mark down these five witnesses of the conversion experience so that you can measure your own experience by God's Word and not measure God's Word by your experience. Chapter 5 and verse number 13, look at it. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Look at that little word, know, K-N-O-W. That doesn't mean maybe, it doesn't mean I hope so, it doesn't mean I wish. It means know. The Bible says that you can know for sure if you have eternal life. Somebody says, oh, that's presumptuous. No, it's not, it's Bible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 that a person can know for sure that he has eternal life and he's going to heaven. And so the first thing I want you to think about this morning, are you sure? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure that you've been born again? Well, the Bible says that you can know for sure. Well, how can you know for sure? Well, the first witness that we know for sure that we've been born again is the Word of God. That's the eternal witness of God's Word. Look at it. These things have I written unto you. What's the these things? It's the Word of God. The Word of God is written so that a person can know for sure they have eternal life. The Word of God is written so a person can know for sure that he has been born again. These things have I written unto you. Why did God give us the Bible? Why do we have the Holy Scriptures? The Bible is God's book of revelation to us so that we can know for sure how to go to heaven. The Bible is God's witness to us so that we can know for sure how to be born again. The Bible should be more than a place where we collect photographs of our grandchildren or little locks of hair from our children. It should be a little bit more than something that's a conversational piece on the coffee table. The Bible is a living and alive word from heaven that tells a person how they can know for sure they have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And so I'm glad this morning that I know for sure I have eternal life because I have the Bible. And it is the eternal witness of God. It is the eternal witness of God. Now look with me, first of all, at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 35, look at it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What is that? That's the eternal word of God. It'll last long after the mountains are gone. It'll last long after this planet is worn out and disappears. The word of God will last longer than the stars will be in space. When heaven and earth are passed away, my word will not pass away. So I'm glad this morning that my salvation is not based on what I feel, but it's based upon something that is eternal, something that is forever, God's word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Did you ever buy something from a company and they said a lifetime guarantee? A lifetime of who? A lifetime of me? Or a lifetime of your company? A lifetime guarantee. And then when you pull the guarantee out and you call them up on the telephone, you find out that the company is no longer in business. Your guarantee is worthless. Your guarantee is worthless. I'm glad this morning that we have a guarantee that is written not by the hand of man, but by God Almighty himself. And God is never going to go out of business. God is in the salvation business. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. God is in the salvation business, and he has given me his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never, ever pass away. You can believe God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at it with me, please. Just before the the letters to John, 1 Peter, chapter 1. And verse number 23. Look at it, verse 23. How are you born again? How do you know that you've been born again? Take a look at verse 23, 1 Peter chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, our salvation is not based on our personal feelings. Our salvation is based on God's eternal promises, His eternal word. Verse 24 says, and all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. That's that company that went into business and went out of business. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falls away. That's the words of men. That's the promises of men. They might have meant well when they made the promise, but now they can't fulfill the promise. But verse 25, they look at it. But the word of the Lord endureth what? Forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know for sure? Well, the eternal word of God. That's the eternal witness. The eternal witness. Turn with me in your Bible again to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 4. Look at it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious what? Promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now a check is a promissory note. If you write a check and put your signature on it and say that this is piece of paper is worth $10, it's a promise that $10 will be given to you in exchange for that little green piece of paper with your signature on it. God has given us His eternal promises by which we are partakers of His divine nature. We have God's promise. And so we know that we are saved by the eternal promise of God. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse number 9. Take a look at it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. In other words, if God makes a promise, you can believe it, you can count on it. And I know that when I put my head on the pillow at night, I'm not counting on myself or on my goodness. I'm counting on God's promise. He made me a promise. And God is not slack concerning His promise. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. God made me a promise. Does God keep His word? Does God keep His promises? Can you trust God? Well, we pray the Lord this morning for the eternal witness, the eternal witness of God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ had many euphemistic names for Himself. He called Himself the Shepherd. He called Himself the Way. He called Himself the Door. He called Himself the Bread. And I'm glad this morning He called Himself the Truth. He's the Truth. And when we receive His word, we can count on it as the truth. He said, whoever will come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. We have His eternal word. Turn with me your Bible to a book in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. 1 Kings chapter 8. And verse number 56. You have this verse underlined in your Bible. Look at it. What a beautiful verse. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel, listen, according to all that He promised there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. There hath not failed one word of his promise. Well, it's awful presumptuous of you to think that you are saved. No, it's not. I have a promise from God. I have a promise from God that if I would trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He would save me. And just as your little girl, or just as your little boy looks to you and believes in your promise, how much more can he believe the one whose very name is the truth? You know you're saved. Could you feel like it? No. I know I'm saved because of God's eternal witness, His word. Heaven and earth, said Jesus, will pass away. My word will never pass away. So when a person becomes born again, the first thing that happens is he's in his book. Why? This is John's word. That's where faith comes from. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, one day God said, you believe in me, my son died for you. I'll save you. And what happened was, you believe God's word, and you were saved by the eternal witness of God's word. How else do we know for sure that we are saved? First, we have the eternal witness of God's word. Second, we have the internal witness of God's Spirit. The internal witness of God's Spirit. If you will look at 1 John chapter number 5. You have it there, 1 John chapter number 5. Better if you look at it, then you just hear it, because then you're just hearing some preacher preach it. It's based on God's word, not on what I have to say. 1 John chapter 5. Got it? Verse 13 speaks about the word, you know, by the eternal witness of God's word. Now take a look at verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, is that you? I hope so. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You see it? Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's the internal witness. That's the internal witness. So what is this internal witness? What is this internal witness? Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. Well, how can a person know for sure? Well, first of all, we have the internal witness of God's word. Second of all, we have the internal witness within us. Verse 16, Romans chapter 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the second witness is the internal witness of God's Spirit that witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the internal witness. You're filled with something. That's internal. So first of all, we have an internal witness. That's God's word. Second, we have an internal witness of God's Spirit. Again, back in 1 John. 1 John again, chapter 4. First, we have the internal witness of God's Word. Second, we have the internal witness of what? God's Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 13. Listen to it. Hereby know we, not think, hope, wish, maybe. Look at it, 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us, what? His Spirit. And so, the second witness of the new birth is the internal witness of God's Holy Spirit. First John chapter 3 and verse 24. He that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. That hereby we know, not wish, not maybe, not hope, we know by the Spirit that witnesses within us that we are the children of God. I don't want to belabor the point, but there is a certain affinity, there is a certain attraction, there is a certain acceptance that we have when we are in harmony and agreement with somebody. And basically what the Word is saying, that when you've been born again, now your spirit is in agreement with God's Spirit. You see, before you were saved and you heard God's Word, you said, "I don't like that, I don't like that. I don't know, I don't agree with that. No, that rubs me the wrong way." That's the way you were before you were saved. You ever rub a cat the wrong way? No, smart cat does. Turns around. He said, "This person that's petting me is petting me the wrong way. I'm just going to turn around." And then you won't be rubbed the wrong way anymore. The reason you're rubbed the wrong way when you hear the Word of God is because your heart's not right and your spirit is wrong. But when you become converted, you repent and you turn around. Now the very same hand of God is rubbing across your back and feels good. Because now your spirit is witnessing with God's Spirit. That means you're in agreement and you're in harmony with the Spirit of God. So, how do I know I'm saved? First, I know I'm saved by the eternal witness of God's Word. Second, I know I'm saved by the internal witness of God's Spirit. Number three, I know I'm saved by the fraternal witness of God's friends. The fraternal witness, the fraternity, or the brotherhood. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. Would you look at it? We know, not hope, not wish, not maybe, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Third way I know I've been born again is I love God's people. I love God's people. See, before you were born again, you saw God's people and you said, "Boy, they're strange. But boy, they're a strange group. They get together and they sing and they're strange. They go to church on Sunday, sometimes they go Sunday morning, Sunday night, they go on Wednesday. They're strange people." Ah, but when you're born again, all of a sudden, they become your people, and then you become a part of God's family. That's the fraternal witness of God's friends. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now listen to this. This doesn't mean we love everything they do. Sometimes we don't love what they do. Sometimes we don't love what they do and we have to go and tell them, say, "Brother, I don't love what you do, but I love you." What does that mean? When I say I love somebody, it means that I want the best for you. Hope the best for you. I believe the best for you. Now what you're doing is not right. I don't like what you're doing, but I love you anyway. Just like a mother would take her son, "Son, what you're doing is wrong. And I'm going to do my best to make you do right. And I'm upset with what you're doing. and I'm disappointed in what you're doing. But I still love you. And I'll still be your mother. You see? The third witness we have that he's been born again is the fraternal witness. The fraternal witness of God's friends. Of God's friends. 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and verse number 7. Look at it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and what? Knoweth God. Know. You can know. K-N-O-W. You can know God. And it's demonstrated and it's manifested and it's proved because now you also have a love in your heart for God's people. Oh no, you don't agree with every single thing they do. Sometimes you're disappointed in how they do because you don't live up to the standards of God's them. But you love them. That's the fraternal witness. That's the fraternal witness of God's friends. Take a look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John and chapter number 13. I think you're in agreement with me here. I think you see what I'm saying. So let me just drive the nail a little deeper into the ground. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And verse number 35. You have it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Not the epistles of John, but Joshua of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'll read it for you. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's the third witness that a person is born again. They have love one for another. Well, you might not be in total agreement with that Christian down the street. As a matter of fact, a Christian down the street might be a babe in the Lord. He might not be as educated as you are in the things of God, but you love him because you're part of the same family. That's the third witness that you've been born again. You love God's people. You love God's people. How do I know that I've been born again? How do I know that I have been saved? Hey, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 9. And verse number 10. Okay. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. See, when we become born again, we love that which is good. It's automatic. We love what's good. And we cleave to that which is, to that which is good. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, I'll read it for you. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. How can you know for sure that you've been born again? Well, first I have the internal witness of God's word. Second, I have the internal witness of God's spirit. Third, I have the fraternal witness of God's friends or of the fellowship. Let me read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Listen to it. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Forsaking not the assembling of yourself. See, when a person becomes born again, something happens on Sunday morning. He has this magnetism. He wants to be with other believers, worshiping and praising God. There's a love for God and God's people. Why? Well, that's an evidence that something's happened in your life. You've been born again. Does that mean that you're in total agreement and harmony with everything a brother does? No. But you still love God's people. You might not love all they do, but you love God's people. So I know I'm saved from the eternal witness of God's word, second, the eternal witness of God's spirit, third, the eternal witness of God's friends. Number four, the external witness of a transformed life. the external witness of a transformed life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. You got it? And hereby we do know, not hope, not wish, not maybe. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. And hereby we know that we know him, okay, if we keep his commandments. You see, the fourth witness that we've been born again is that we want to obey God's word. We want to obey God's word. Hereby we know that we know him and that we keep his commandments. Suddenly God's words and God's way are very important to us. We want to do that which pleases God. What is that? Well, that's the external witness of a transformed life. All of a sudden, people look at you and say, you're different. Something's different about you. It's as if you went to the corner and the sign was flashing, don't walk. Don't walk. Don't walk. And you're standing at the corner waiting for the light to change and everybody else is walking right by you. And you say, well, why are you standing there? Well, the sign says, don't walk. Oh, I don't pay attention to that. Oh, no, I don't pay attention to that. That's the law. The law says, obey the traffic signal here, and I'm going to wait until the sign says walk. That's an external witness of the transformed life. And people see you start to obey God's rule. And in a world that says there are no rules, you kind of stand out, don't you? You kind of stand out because you're waiting for God's green light to blink and say, walk, walk, walk. That's the external witness of a transformed life. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse number 16 through 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 through 21. I'll read it. Listen to what God's word says. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. That's the witness of a transformed life. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What does that mean? That means that something happened in you that makes you want to obey the will of the Father. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, but he that does the will of the Father. The fourth witness is the external witness of a transformed life. 1 John again. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Look at it. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Look at it. And his commandments are not what? Grievous. See, before a person became a Christian, they thought the commandments of God are grievous. You mean I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do the other thing? And they were like a grievous thing. Now when a person becomes a Christian, they realize that those laws and commandments are for your own good. And they're not grievous, you count them as a blessing. How do I know for sure that I've been born again? Well, first of all, there's the eternal witness of God's Word. Second, there's the internal witness of God's Spirit. Third, there's the eternal witness of God's fellowship and God's friends. Fourth, there's the external witness of a transformed life. And lastly, there's the internal witness of God's enemies. There's the internal witness of God's enemies. What do you mean? Well, take a look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 15. You see, this change that took place in us is reflected not only what we love, but what we don't love. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There are other verses that I could share to prove that and then have time. But all of a sudden, your love is different. God says, if you love me, you won't love the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And if a young man proposes to a young woman and says, will you marry me? And she says, yes, I will. He says, yes, I want to marry you, but you don't mind if I take other girlfriends out and continue to date all the other girls in the town, do you? Well, I certainly do. Obviously, you don't love me. And therefore, you really don't want to marry me. For the very marriage vow says, forsaking all others. No, when you come to God and trust Him for His salvation, and you've been born again, turn your back on the world, of all the sinfulness, and all the temptation, and all the pride and evil, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Once you've been delivered from the flaming fire of the burning building, you have no desire to run back in. How do I know that I'm born again? Let me see, somebody told you, no. I have 5 witnesses that I have surely been born again. Have you been born again? I'm sure. Oh, I hope today will make you so sure. Throw yourself at Jesus' feet. Trust in Him alone. That's right. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for witnesses that you give us to the new birth. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross that we might know you. Bless each and every person here. May they have trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. May they be sure. And may you continue to work in our lives and make us conform to thy image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be dismissed by singing the chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I hope you can sing it and you're sure.